This episode of Grumpy Old Geeks is brought to you by FreshBooks. Go to freshbooks.com/grumpy. Enter Grumpy Old Geeks in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get your first month of unrestricted use absolutely free with no credit card required. The newly redesigned FreshBooks makes it unbelievably simple to create invoices and see how much you're owed at a glance. And with their PayPal for Business integration, you can pay as little as 50 cents to get paid and skip the entire PayPal percentage schemo-scamo-rama. I use it every week and completely love it.
Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks, episode 183. I'm Jason DeFilippo, here with my co-host.
I'm Brian Schulmeister.
Still?
Yeah, shit. Still.
Okay. I thought I got rid of you, but guess not.
Well, you know, I can... Shit, I'm going to shut down my mic. See you later.
Mic drop, out.
Yep, here comes up to speed again.
Far less work.
So, on your recommendation, I got myself an Echo, an Amazon Echo. I decided to break out of the Mac-only confines and didn't wait for the Google version of this, but got the, as you said, it's a year into their infrastructure, so they've been building it, and they've been around for a while. So I went and got the Amazon Echo, and I love the damn thing.
Isn't it cool?
A week into it, with a kid, it is absolutely fantastic. I can't even explain, just even with a newborn, how great this is.
So, yeah, because that's what I wanted to know, because you texted me. It's like, oh, man, this is great for having a kid. I'm like, okay, explain, please. I would like to know what is the upside of having it when you have a kid.
I will dad-splain.
Please dad-splain. This is
the new version of mansplaining. It's dad-splaining. Well, first off, for me, personally, it's already cooled. Like, I was super into it, like, the first 2 days as a grumpy old geek. And then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm talking to a box that answers questions and most of the time gets it kind of right is already that high is cooled for me. I like the fact that it could play some podcasts, but this thing, even a year in, I'm surprised at how little it can actually do. There are a lot of things that I want it to be able to do, and once it does, it will be fantastic for me. Having said that, for a 2-month-old human being that does nothing except for eat and poop, this thing is fantastic. Because I can basically say, Alexa, play white noise. Oh my God. I don't have to like go fucking like if the white noise generator goes off or turns off or whatever. This thing will just do it. Alexa, play lullabies. It fucking plays lullabies.
No way.
It's fantastic. I mean, it is absolutely great. And I did get an Internet of Thing. And when you hear our security broadcast, you'll laugh at that. But I also know how to lock my shit down, so we don't have to worry about this. So I have a light, basically a dimmable light in my child's nursery. So I can turn it on and off with Alexa before I even go in the room. I can set it at different levels. If he's asleep in there and I know I want to wake him up, I can turn it up pretty high, but you know, just kind of ramp it up. Or I can just turn it on really, really, really low if I just want to creep in and not wake him up. There are so many different things that I'm actually using this for with my child. It's fantastic. The timer aspect of it for, you know, okay, guys who don't really like want to think about this stuff, plug your ears for a second. You time your breastfeeding, and she can set a timer and she can pause it when he's off and then restart it when he's on, so she knows exactly how long, etc. There are a lot of uses that have been absolutely fantastic. So it's been great to be able to, because you lose hands when you have a baby. So
yeah,
to have something that is basically, you don't have to press anything, you can just talk to it. It's been great.
It's like a really cheap nanny that doesn't do anything except Google for you.
it kind of is. And it's a weird thing because I've stayed away from voice control for so long, even though I've had Siri technically available to me. I just have never used it. And this is actually stepping me into it. And the cool thing that I see is not so much for us because we're old, but for my son, he will live in a world where he really just talks to a computer. Unless he has some actual work to do, he's never going to be pushing buttons or doing any of that. He's just going to talk to a damn thing because this is getting close.
Close the dad bay door, Hal.
Well, speaking of that, the first thing I did was Google known Easter eggs, and I found a huge list on Reddit, which if you've got an Amazon Echo, The link is in the show notes. These are all the little in jokes that people have built into this thing, and they're all quite funny. I've been doing almost all of them. So
did you get the big mama or the little mama?
I got the big mama because I wanted the sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't bought into Sonos yet. I haven't figured out what my web 2.0 version of sound in my house is going to be since mm-hmm. I took down my studio monitors and all that. And I just kind of want to figure out some sort of wireless sound situation everywhere. So I got the big one. But I'm already sold on getting two dots, like one in the nursery and one in our bedroom, and then keep the main one out in our main room. And as long as they all sync up together, damn you, Amazon. I've already spent a lot of money.
Yeah. And here's the thing. So I got the dot. That's why I was rolling into this, because I got the dot this week and I put it next to my bed. And I wanted to see what the speaker was like, the built-in speaker quality.
How bad is it?
It's not great, but it's not terrible. Okay, if I want to, when I get up in the morning and I just want to, depending on the time, I'll play a certain radio station and I'll just roll over and it's like, Alexa, play WGN. And so if K-Rock's not up yet, because, you guys don't start till 5 in the morning. And if it's before 7 a.m., I'll play local talk radio. And if it's after 7 a.m., I'll play K-Rock and listen to Kevin and Bean. And it's it's radio quality.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna order one to put in the nursery.
And I'm gonna tell you now, I'm already regretting not buying the six pack because I don't
have a big enough house.
I don't either, but I want to give these to. I want to take two of them to my dad's house. You know?
Oh, Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
All right. Because I think if the little one's speaker isn't that bad, it would totally work in the nursery because
it'll completely work in the nursery. I guarantee you. Yeah.
My son is not breaking down the classics yet or anything. He just needs some nursery rhymes.
He's not deconstructing Chopin just yet.
And the thing that I also saw with the dots, which is what they're called, is that they've got the audio out, so you can always attach them to other speakers. Plus there's Bluetooth, so that's Bluetooth enabled speakers that you can always put in as well. So shit, man. I just got myself into an entire new infrastructure. So Amazon, you sucked me in.
Yep. That's the other thing. I've got a Bluetooth speaker that I can actually put in a prime spot in the room that doesn't have to be because it's wireless. It's one of those iHome speakers. And I can just put it in a prime spot in the room and then play whatever I want. I can play, white noise or whatever when I go to bed and have it turn off and have it in an audio appropriate spot instead of where the echo has to be because it has to be plugged in.
I gotta tell you the game changer on this thing, as nice as it is to be able to control different powers and obviously any kind of music, you connect it to Spotify or whatever, podcasts you can play automatically through TuneIn, things like that, the game changer for this will be when they connect it to smart TVs. The fact that I'm sitting there and using my voice to control almost everything in my house now, but I can't control my TV is ridiculous. That needs to happen as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll get to that point, but you'll probably have to buy an Amazon TV for that to work.
We'll see. I don't see why not. And, the other thing that I think is lacking a little bit is the flash briefings and things like that. I love that. Not enough people are providing their content to the service yet. I was even thinking, as soon as I started the flash briefing thing, I was like, why aren't we doing one? Slate does one that's basically once a week. It repeats every day. We should do a 90-second grumpy old geek thing on the Echo.
Oh, maybe something like Up to Speed?
Maybe something like that, except, again, we have to get paid for it. Up to Speed was 15 minutes. The thing with a flash briefing is it's 90 seconds, 2 minutes tops.
Well, I think I've heard the Twit ones, and they change up. Some of them are 3 minutes. But anyway, so the notorious DSG on Twitter sent me a tweet. He says, I got the Echo Dot thanks to your recommendation. Thank you. And how come Siri and Google can't do this as well? Good Lord, I think it's a Texas Instruments OMAP and 256 mega RAM. He was talking about the internal specs, but I'm glad the notorious DSG picked one up on our recommendation. I'm happy with mine. I love it.
I love it too. And on that tweet, which came in real time, Google's about to do it. Obviously, they're releasing their own thing. I am beyond shocked that Apple has not put out a tiny product like this, except for the fact that they're snobby about shit and somebody else came up with it first, so now they're gonna we're not doing one. Apple's attitude.
That's probably it. They're probably waiting to make it perfect.
Well, and they, you know, they're pushing Siri to everything now, your laptops and everything. But I mean, just build a little standalone hot looking thing, Apple. Come on.
Yep. Okay, so we got the Easter egg list, which is pretty funny. I was digging it. there are too many in here to mention, but I'm going to go through all of these this evening.
Oh, you obviously have to do the open the pod bay door, Alexa. That one's funny. So yeah, there's so many Earl Grey hot, you know, of course. Yeah, it was obvious a bunch of geeks built this shit.
And my favorite is Alexa. My name is Inigo Montoya. It's actually Indigo Montoya. But so speaking of Reddit, though, we have our own Grumpy Old Geek subreddit.
Woohoo!
Yes, that it is at reddit.com/r/GOG podcast. I'll have a link in the show notes. And what we're going to start doing there is posting links all week. And you guys can go and upvote if you're a Redditor. And we're going to pick most of the stuff for the show for the next week from that list. So if there's stuff in there that we've missed that you might find and want us to talk about on the show, please go add links, upvote things that you like, downvote things that you don't. Yep. I know that we're coming at this late, but it was just one of those other avenues that we have to manage. But I'm doing everything on Pinboard anyway. I'm like, well, I'm posting links to the internet. Might as well post them where everybody can see them, and then we can all talk about them and have a good time. So
yeah.
/r/GOG podcast.
I like the idea of becoming a Redditor, and there we are. So let's get on it, because right now there's one post, and it was from 16 days ago. We're going to start doing it. Damn it.
That was me setting up the channel. So, all right, on to the news.
In the news.
Breaking news, Vine is dead.
That's the video service that was briefly popular about 2 years ago and is still inexplicably around, but apparently not anymore.
Well, it's owned by Twitter, so you'd think that it would be, you know, still going. I guess they're
What's Twitter? Oh, it's that service that was really popular for a long time, but has a lot of problems and can't figure out how to make a dollar.
Yes, well, yeah. Poor
Vine stars.
I know.
Vine was groundbreaking. I feel bad for them. They should probably have sold to somebody else instead of Twitter.
Well, who cares? They got out with their money. They don't care.
True. That's true. They don't care. So it's still up, right? Like it's just been announced that support is going away. Eventually it will be shut down. So
you have 6 seconds to get all your Vine, Vine images out.
Oh, well done, Jason. Well done.
This comes on the news of Twitter actually made more money than they thought. They were up 8% over last year to $616 million this quarter. But
so does that mean they're going to hire a bunch of people?
No, they're going to fire 9% of their workforce.
I know you love Twitter, Jason, but come on. Even you've got to be admitting at this point. What the fuck is anybody going to do with this thing?
Look, that's the reason I quit Twitter so many times. I'm like, what's the fucking point of this thing? And even Sean Bonner this week, the Twitter meister, posted his...
I saw his stats on how often he tweets.
He posted his 100,000th tweet and finally had this come to Jesus moment. He's like, well, this is fucking pointless. I'm going to go blog.
I'm going to go focus on long form blogging now instead of this crap.
But to his credit, he's not writing on Medium.
Which is where your first story is from.
Yes, I know. Well, you have to understand that the people who created Twitter also created Medium. So
expect that to shut down hopefully soon.
Yes, people always say, why aren't you writing on Medium? Well, you don't build in somebody's backyard. And we have more stories about that coming down the line.
Yeah, and Twitter's in the news a lot today because obviously everybody's trying. Nobody wants to buy them to begin with.
Grab them by the 140 characters.
Everybody's trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do. They obviously don't know. The cases of there's so many things wrong with Twitter to begin with. The abuse that happens on there, of course, is massive. They did announce that they're going to make, and I love this, meaningful changes to its safety policy in order to clean up its toxic atmosphere and crack down on, quote, targeted behavior that harasses or threatens others to silence another person's voice.
Okay.
Except they don't say how they're going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't say exactly when they're going to do it, except it won't be anytime soon, specifically not until after the election. And considering everything and all the hate that's going on right now is really election based, that seems kind of useless. So Twitter is going to do something about something without explaining how, and they won't do it until after the point in time in humanity's history that we could actually use it. So thanks a lot, Twitter.
Yeah. It gets, well, like, you can engineer a solution like this in 2 weeks anyway. Maybe they'll go down the route that YouTube is doing and get the armies of people to come in and do it for them because they can't figure out how to do it themselves.
Crowdsourcing has fixed everything, hasn't it?
Oh, yes.
I wish we had real-time sound effects right now. And speaking of other useless shit that's not working out, the gig economy has grown big, fast, and that's a problem for workers. So says a nice article on Recode, which is worth a good read. Link in our show notes. I particularly like the quote from an anonymous former employee of house cleaning startup HomeJoy.
Oh, we have ripped them new home holes many times.
Well, not only do we have to do it, apparently their own employees. I love this quote. Children are running the company and they act like they are still in college. The poor cleaners are being treated like slaves. The children make fun of them behind their backs. This company is a tax evader and a moral concern to the working class. Basically, every single company that we talk about on our podcast is this. And nobody seemed to care until now. Are people starting to care?
This should have just been the bro economy, dude.
It's the bro economy, man.
Dude. Yeah. Look at those people cleaning my stuff. I totally ralphed in that garbage can last night, and Consuela's got to come clean it up. And I only totally tipped her like 2%.
Basically, it's a pretty good article about this stuff. I've been railing against it. This is not the way to move forward, people. This is a step back in society.
Next story on the same lines. This comes from Digiday. Snapchat stops autoplay. Marketers grapple with declining view counts. Oh, you
okay?
Yeah, autoplay. Well, good.
Does autoplay count as a view?
Yes.
Did it ever count as a view?
Always.
Should it realistically count as a view?
Absolutely not.
Have we said since day one, should that count as a view?
Yes, we have. Said that it
no,
should
we
not.
Haven't.
We've said that it should not count as a view.
There we go.
You're getting in way too many negative loopholes.
I'm sorry, I'm doing double negatives and reverse. Yeah. So shockingly, Snapchat stopped doing something that they should have done anyways, and all of a sudden marketers are freaking out because people aren't watching their shit.
Oh, poor babies.
So this you put this article in and I read it, and I don't do a lot on Snapchat because most of my clients aren't trying to get the sub 5-year-old and millennial people. We're trying to get slightly older people that still have jobs because most millennials don't. And I've been trying to deal with marketing on social media. And
I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
You have no idea how bad it's gotten, Jason, since you've gotten out of this. You want to talk about why Twitter is going away? Over the last 4 months, I have attempted every week over 4 months to give Twitter money. they will not take it.
Why?
I cannot place an ad. Their ad system for promoting posts on Twitter is so broken. It's impossible. I've shut down. It closes browser windows. It errors out 9 times out of 10. Even when I can actually get to the point where I've put in my credit card and I have a tweet and I'm choosing to promote it and I hit the button and it says it's been accepted, it gets no hits and I never get charged.
Yeah.
You cannot advertise anything on Twitter, even if you want to.
I know. I mean, I had a conversation one time with one of the heads of marketing over at Twitter. And this woman was very blunt because she had many a scotch that night because we plied her with much scotch because we were trying to figure out how we could get some juice from Twitter.
You cannot.
And she's like, it was a third party system that they bought. It's terrible. They don't know how to fucking fix it. And now they're laying off 9% of the employees. How much you want to bet that 9% is straight out of engineering?
Well, and the other thing is there's no tech support to speak of anyways.
No.
So again, you're trying to give them money and there's nobody to talk to give them money when their system to give them money is broken.
And you know what's really fucked up this week? I got rejected for my verified checkmark this week.
They said, who cares?
They said no. No, but here's the thing. They're still like, I know that that system, they have tons of people sitting there manually going through trying to verify people to do that. Because I know the girl that ran that department too, because she used to be an intern for us. And right. Even she was like, I can't do anything. I can't push you through. You got to go through the system and I can't give you any tips. But I'm going to tell you right now, good luck, because it's a shit show.
Twitter's useless. You can't do anything with it. And again, you want to know if a company is going to go out of business. If they have no ability to take your money, they're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
Twitter cannot take your money.
Well, that's why the Chicago Tribune didn't get my money, because their form was broken. And now I'm a subscriber, a happy subscriber of the New York Times. Anyway, these marketers need to shut the fuck up, because when you build your business in someone's backyard, you cannot bitch when they come out in the middle of the night and turn on the sprinklers and piss all over you.
I'm just the middleman, Jason. I'm just trying to work these systems for somebody else.
No, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the people who were complaining about the other thing.
And let me quickly mention how bad the Instagram-Facebook merger is going as well for this sort of thing. If you place an ad, you're now supposed to go through Facebook to place the ad, which will also be placed on Instagram, except for the fact that if anybody likes the status that you place through the boosting post on Facebook, it will not show up on Instagram. It will only show up on Facebook. If you use the boost post on Instagram, it will only show up in a special boosted post version of your post, not your original post. So all the people that like that post aren't liking your original post. So the point of paying to get people to like your post is completely moot. What the fuck are you people doing?
I've worked in this business for 23 years, and even I didn't understand a fucking thing you just said.
No, because none of it makes sense, Jason. All I'm saying is, don't even bother paying these people right now, because they cannot figure out their systems.
Mm.
Anyways, moving on to something super expensive that we want to buy.
Yes, the big Microsoft event came out, was it 2 days ago?
Yes.
And there are 8 big announcements. You can read about them on The Verge, but I don't care about those. I care about 2 announcements. One,
oh boy.
The one is the Surface Studio, and the second is the Surface Dial. These things are fucking sexy. I'm sorry. I'm not a Microsoft guy, obviously. I railed on them for years, but when I watched the video for this Surface Studio, I wanted it now. Fucking now.
I love the irony of, after years of you trying to get me to go to Mac, and I finally do it, within a year, Microsoft releases something that is just beyond cool. And now
within a year, it's been like 3 months.
Yeah, within 3 months. No, this thing is hot as hell. And we were talking a little bit off air, and rightly so. I was like, it's expensive, though. And then you were like, not compared to Mac stuff. And you're right. I've already been indoctrinated into how expensive Mac stuff is, that I thought this was pricey. Anyways.
Yeah. No, I'm running on a 4-year-old MacBook Pro that cost me $3,700. And this thing clocks in at $2,999. And I'm just like, I'll trade you. You can have my MacBook Pro.
It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. What a stunning move from Microsoft. I expect their stock should rise. This is a beautiful machine made for this age. It's basically just a gigantic monitor, but serious processing power.
It's huge. Yeah.
And just great processing power. This is what you want sitting on a desk somewhere when you're tired of using your tablet, when you want to see something. This could replace a TV for most people.
Hell yeah.
It's beautiful.
And
it's beautiful.
I'm sorry, but the nerd boner moment came when they put that dial on it and it popped up those menus. I was just like, that is some Minority Report shit.
You love that dial, but what you don't realize as a PC user, those have been on our keyboards for ages. Not as sexy as that, I'll give you, which is a whole separate thing. But so many keyboards for PCs have had a little dial like that on the keyboard that controlled things the same kind of way. This is better. They've definitely improved on it, but it's not a massive step like you seem to think it is.
No, I mean, I saw it in the first Surface tablet. Like a friend of mine at BLT when I worked there showed me a demo. He had a whole Surface setup. And he showed me like the inline menus with the rotating, content aware menus. And I was just like, that's fucking hot. Problem is, you're still on it's still Windows.
You know, as I've said, it's the operating systems aren't that different. They really aren't anymore.
Not really. I mean, there are a bunch of stuff there. I mean, the things that I use on my Mac right now are like just extremely Mac specific. Like, yes, I'm using Logic Pro to do this show, But I could learn Pro Tools. I could learn Pro Tools, you know?
And you'll hear later in our comments of the week section, actually, somebody who's shitting on Logic and saying you should move.
Well.
So anyways, it is what it is. They're not that different anymore. This is a massive shot off the bow for Microsoft. This is a big move for them.
This is what happens when you have time, because everything else you've done in the last 10 years has failed miserably.
I agree with you, Jason. I agree with you 100%. They had like a stealth team working on something to like fucking blow the world away, and they fucking did it.
Yep.
They did it. This is beautiful. And I want to go back to PC now.
I know. And you look at the MacBooks that came out today. Like, you know, okay, the new MacBook Pros came out today. You get four ports, and here's the breaking news. Headphone port is still there.
I know. That's the one thing that I couldn't believe that, because I got the new iPhone and I was like, I have to carry around two headphones. Surely the new MacBook will just have the thing. Nope.
Cracking up when I saw that. I'm just like, that's the Brian port.
Yes. They did. Yes.
Go down the B hole. That's the B hole.
Look, I got to say, Microsoft has leapt ahead of Apple, as far as I'm concerned, right now with their PC technology.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. That it's, you know, the stuff from Apple today was evolutionary. Yeah. This is revolutionary. I was looking for my marketing speak.
Ooh, that's good. Good job.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right, so let's be grumpy again instead. AT&T, Time Warner are merging.
Well, wait, no. I want to talk about this PC comeback.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I threw that in the show notes as well.
No, there's apparently a renaissance on the desktop, which I am happy about, because I live at the desktop.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. What's happened is people realize that if they want to be a content creator, the tablets and the phones aren't really going to cut it, regardless of what all you millennials think, running around using your pre-built-in filters that everybody else has. That's the thing, is to create actual compelling content, you have to move beyond the filter set that's available to you on your tablets and on your phones. So people are starting to go back to PCs. And it's also because the phones have gotten larger, the tablets are starting to get squeezed out a little bit as well. And you basically, most people need to have two devices. Well, actually, most people just need one. But people that actually create content on the internet, you need two devices. So it's either going to be a super large tablet, or it's going to be a PC. And you're going to have your phone. So,
the tablet hybrid, which is what Microsoft just built, you know?
Yes. This thing is, I wouldn't even call this a tablet hybrid.
It's touchscreen. You can use a stylus, and you can also just use the keyboard and the mouse.
Yeah, but you can't walk around with it, because the monitor is so huge. That's a tablet. A tablet is something you walk around
with. Right, but that's
with.
Where the hybrid comes in.
Okay. Yeah, it's a PC that you can have a touchscreen on. And it's fantastic. So finally, all of Microsoft's bullshit Windows 10 shit makes sense.
It has all come together.
It finally really has. So.
Yeah. I've been going through this because I have my iPad Pro. I've got the smaller iPad Pro. With the Logic keyboard, I love it. With the Apple Pencil, which I also love, I can do a ton of stuff on it, but it is an extension of my desktop. It is not a replacement for my desktop. And all these people who are like, you can podcast from an iOS device, I'm like, fucking lick my balls. You cannot do it professionally. Imbecile. No.
You can't do a lot of things professionally, and that's what people always say. Oh, you can do this. You can do everything on your phone or your tablet now. Yeah, you can, but it's half-assed and it's shit.
Yeah, it's shit. Trust me. You put me in front of a Mac with a mouse and a keyboard, I will blow your ass out of the water with your little tablet. No fucking question.
I would so happily go back to one. I would have this Microsoft Surface Studio and my iPhone, and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I'm pissed now that I'm on my MacBook.
Well,
if you just waited another year.
Here's the thing. Here's Brian's corollary to Jason's issue. Whenever I buy a new MacBook, the new version comes out 31 days later. You buy a MacBook and we get this amazing device. So I'm going to have you buying MacBooks for the rest of your life so I can go out and buy a new Surface.
Well, I think for the show, you should get the Microsoft Surface Studio and we should switch places. And then maybe in 3 years, we'll switch back.
Yeah, well, if the show could afford me going to buy a Microsoft Surface, I would. But I am poor and I will not be getting a Surface anytime soon. I can't even afford an iPhone 7. I went to go check it out, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to stick with my broken 6 Plus for another 3 months.
It happens.
I just got to turn it off and on a lot, but hey, fuck it. I'll keep it.
All right. So AT&T and Time Warner Cable are merging. Supposedly, this isn't a big deal because Time Warner Cable spun off its cable to Spectrum, which I apparently now have and I don't see any difference in. But this is just...
here, Speculum is your new cable.
Speculum. Bend over. Here we come. Why am I even reading this? We all know why it's a bad idea. It's a fucking monopoly. It's bullshit. And net neutrality is going out the window. And this is a really, really, really bad idea. There you go. Done. There's a
great disturbance in the force.
But unfortunately, it'll go.
Yeah, so New York Times bought Wirecutter and Sweet Home.
I don't even know what those were until I read this, and then I was really upset and kind of jealous. I was like, what?
I'm not jealous because Brian Lamb was going back to my old days as a blogging mogul before Ariana Fuckington. I ran Met Blogs. One of my first writers at San Francisco Met Blogs was Brian Lamb, and he went from us to Wired, to Engadget, or Gizmodo, or one of those two. They're interchangeable. I don't care. Whatever one. But then he started the Wirecutter on his own money, never took advertising, only built it on Amazon ad revenue or, you know, click-through revenue.
Right.
And he lives in Hawaii and surfs every day and sold it for $30 million. I'm like, brah, go, dude. That was my Hawaiian thing,
but yeah, that was horrible.
I know.
Okay.
This is why I don't work in radio. Shit.
Except you do.
I know.
All right. So
this is why I don't make any money in radio.
Well, he did a really good job. Yes. Awesome, man. That's fantastic.
No, I'm so happy for him. Because, and also, here's the upside of it. Not a dick. Out of all the people I've met in blogging, this guy, not a dick.
Yes.
So I wish him the best on his new fortune.
Right. Now, Facebook has realized that they are basically the future of journalism. So they've decided to launch a series of online classes so that you people that write can actually learn how to write because you're horrible at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you beat me to this one. I actually started taking these classes and I'm just like, what? Seriously? I have to take this class to become a online journalist. Oof.
Yeah,
it's bad. Seriously, my dog could finish these classes. They're that
this
bad.
This is rudimentary high school, at least from when we grew up. It's bad. It's really bad. I looked at them too. So I'm a proud graduate of FU.
Yeah, seriously.
Uber purchased Otto. We talked about Otto. I don't remember if we actually did the story where Uber purchased them, but I'm assuming we did.
We did. We've done a couple stories about Otto, and you also beat me on this one. I had a great show title for this one because this just, you know, harkens back to my Smokey and the Bandit days. But
give me the show title.
I can't remember it because as soon as you put it in here, I deleted my link, and my link had the show title in it. I'm like, damn.
If you happen to be a trucker, a long haul trucker that listens to this show, you might as well go to FU and start learning some journalism courses because you're now out of a job.
You're fucked.
You're fucked. It's over. Any trucking service, blah, 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 you're done. So Otto, the self-driving truck startup that was acquired by Uber for $700 million, has completed the world's first completely autonomous commercial freight delivery over 120 miles from a way station in Fort Collins, Colorado to Colorado Springs. There was a professional driver in the truck the entire time who had never had to intervene, and the truck was able to drive itself from exit to exit. The software is programmed to hand off control to the human driver when the truck needs to exit the freeway, but basically, you're done. You've been outsourced. The saddest thing in the world is the fact that actually this entire run was to deliver the world's worst beer,
4,500,000. apparently, they delivered it to your house.
4,500 Budweisers.
45,000 Budweisers.
Whatever.
Yes. It's a lot of Budweiser. So at least it wasn't, you know, because the original Smokey and the Bandit, they were doing Coors Light from Texarkana. But the snowman is dead in more ways than one. And the thing that really pissed me off about the video is the guy was in the back like in the sleeping quarters reading a magazine. Now,
well, would you?
For safety's sake, you'd think that he would be maybe by the wheel in case something went wrong.
Well, I'm sure they'll bet there's some beepings if something bad's about to happen.
What if he's rubbing one out and then he's got to pull up his drawers and try and get to the front, you know, because that's all they do in the in that little sleeping cabin. That's not a sleeping cabin. That's a spanking cabin.
Which somewhat brings me to the next story. Not really the spanking cabin, but this is a thought piece on what will happen with the self-driving cars and trucking and things like that and the future, because how they're going to be built and how they're going to work and how humans will interact with them, especially in dense city centers. This is by Philip E. Ross, and it's on IEEE Spectrum. He's That'd talking be, about
we call it IEEE.org.
Yeah. So he's talking about how game theory would predict how this is all going to work. And basically, from the point of view of a passenger in an automated car, it'd be like driving down a street filled with unaccompanied 5-year-old children. Basically, people are self-centered. They aren't going to follow rules. They're just going to step out with the knowledge that the car will stop for you no matter what. You'll just do what you want to do. And it's going to destroy the entire concept of how, you know, this is supposedly these self-driving cars will be faster. Everything is going to be smooth traffic, easy commutes, and no sudden stops. Well, no, not with asshole humans leaping out in front of the cars every 2 seconds.
Okay, now I would like to flash back to 3 years ago on Grumpy Old Geeks, where we were talking about the rise of the self-driving car. Yes. And I laid out several plans on how people could troll self-driving cars.
This is one of them.
You could also just carry a stop sign with you. Mm-hmm. And when people are coming by, you raise the stop sign and they, you know, they're forced to stop. So if you want to think about the Uber protests in France, they had to get in the get in traffic to make them stop or bring their tractors in when they were protesting Disney or shit like that. No, you just got to get a bunch of people walking around with stop on their backpack and and the game's over.
See, the thing, I'm going to modify my original statement, because my thing about this has always been we can't have a mixed system. It has to be all autonomous cars and trucks and whatever with no human drivers. You can never mix the two. I'm now revising that to say it has to be in a sealed, self-contained environment in which no human being can ever actually be in at all whatsoever, because humans are assholes.
Here's the deal. Yes. No pedestrians. No exactly. Pedestrians. That's it.
It can't work in a pedestrian environment. It has to basically, oh wait, we already have these. It has to be like a subway.
Well, death to the sidewalk. No, it's just death to the sidewalk. That's it.
No, just make the entire top level pedestrian and then have subways. Somehow we solved this already. We just don't implement it. Interesting.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It ain't okay. It's going to be a fun time. I'm glad that I don't have to leave the house much, and then I can get my Amazon deliveries to come to me as long as they still have people driving.
You're going to become Chet from Weird Science.
What do you mean become? Have you seen me lately?
No.
Apple is also in the news because they're delaying the AirPod rollout, which pissed me off. I found out about this because I went to the store to go buy them. And
that was dumb.
Yeah. Well, I went online to the store. I didn't actually leave my house to go buy them. What do you think? I am a cretin. But yes, I found out that they are being delayed. Apparently, there are a few bugs that they want to quash before they come out.
Is the video on the link in the show notes that you provided the actual container for these things?
I did not. I linked to a TechCrunch article. I did not look at
They have a thing that looks like it's.
Yes, that's it. That's it. That's the self-charging Tic Tac. Actually, it looks more like some dental floss. It's dental floss. Yeah, that's a dental floss container.
It's very much dental floss.
Okay. Yeah, but there's a battery in there, so you can, like, when you're out and you're running out of juice, you can plug them back in and they'll charge real quick.
Okay, fine, whatever. I'm not interested.
But that is definitely the dental floss carrier.
Okay, well, Apple, instead of spending their time to make sure that those are ready, has apparently been working on doing a TV guide for the future.
Future!
I actually really like this concept. I'm interested in seeing it. It's supposedly launching tomorrow. We'll see. The idea is that Apple wants to make it easier to find and watch video content without requiring users to sift through a bunch of apps. Instead, there will be a guide that aggregates and shows content that's available. And I theoretically, hopefully there will be filters like show me everything versus show me the apps that I've paid up for. Probably won't be there because it should be. That would actually be useful. I would like to have something like this because we've lost that ability. And this is what drives people to go to Sweden.
Yeah, that's true. I saw it go through on, I was like half watching the live stream today. So I didn't get all the technical details. But what it seems like, though, is that you have to have registered for that service through the Apple TV, which doesn't work for me in Hulu because I got that separately through Roku. So I need to figure out how that's going to work so I can get my Hulu, you know, listings coming through that. But I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work. This is one of those things.
Nobody knows how it's going to work. And one of the other supposed features of this is that it'll be a sign-on feature. And again, you would have to do it through Apple TV. But even if this exists, this will save my life because I'm so every time I try to log into an app that I'm using, I have to go then sign into my cable provider. Supposedly, Apple TV is going to have a single version of this.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. Once. Yeah. And you don't have to do it every single time for every single app because that's so goddamn annoying.
No, that is terribly annoying. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I got that TCL TV, that 4K Roku TV. Piece of shit. It crashes. I have to hard reboot my TV like a couple times a day if I'm watching actual apps on the TV.
Yeah, well,
no, shock. But here's the thing. I just go back to my Apple TV. There's not the only thing that I'm watching on my actual TV that needs to go through the interface at this point is my digital antenna that I bought. Remember, I talked about that a while ago.
Yep.
So I can watch the Cubs win the World Series.
Wow. 1-1.
Yeah, but it was a good second one.
I'm cheered for the Cubs. You got me.
So you're racing against the clock to wrap up three projects, prepping for a meeting later in the afternoon, all while trying to tackle a mountain of paperwork. Welcome to life as a freelancer. Challenging? Yes, but our friends at FreshBooks believe the rewards are so worth it. The working world has changed. With the growth of the internet, there's never been more opportunities for the self-employed. To meet this need, FreshBooks is excited to announce the launch of an all-new version of their cloud accounting software. It's been redesigned from the ground up and custom built for exactly the way you work. Get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, get paid quickly. The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's also packed full of powerful features. Create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. Set up online payments with just a couple of clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. See when your client has seen your invoice and put an end to the guessing games. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to the listeners of the Grumpy Old Geeks. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/grumpy and enter Grumpy Old Geeks in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Trust me, everyone, I use FreshBooks every week and it has made my life unbelievably simpler. And I do actually get paid almost instantly when I send an invoice. So definitely go check it out. FreshBooks.com/grumpy. Enter Grumpy Old Geeks in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So when you get paid, we get paid.
Security? Ha!
All right, we're back again this week with friend of the show, Dave Bittner, host of the CyberWire podcast. How's it going, Dave?
Oh, it's going good. It's been a busy week. I got a few things to cover, though, this week. So you want to jump right into it?
Let's jump right into it.
All right. So the big story that we continue to watch is what's being referred to as the botnet that broke the internet.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, was the big Mirai botnet that took down large portions of North America last week.
Is this the one that did it by taking over our porn fridges?
I can neither confirm nor deny that. But it was the Mirai botnet is what it's called. And there's been some developing information during this week. We've discovered that it was not as large as many people thought it was. Turns out it was about 100,000 devices, which is still, you know, no small potatoes.
Nothing to sneeze at.
No, no. And it used heavy use of what are called, they're sort of called amplification techniques. A company called...
It went to 11.
Yeah, yeah, isn't this actually bad news? The fact that it involved even less devices than assumed and still took down so much shit?
Yes, this is absolutely bad news. to clarify, yes, news is bad. It is not good news that it used less devices. There's a company called Carrero that's a cybersecurity research company, and they observed exploitation of something called LDAP, which stands for Lightweight Directory Access Protocol. It is a protocol that is supposed to be used sort of like inside enterprise systems. It's really not supposed to be out there on the internet, but,
I was going to say, if you ever worked in a cubicle, you know what LDAP is, but I'm surprised that they could get to it.
Well, that's the thing. It's really a matter of scale. The Shodan search engine shows over 140,000 systems responding to requests over port 389, which is what uses LDAP. And over 60,000 of them were in the U.S. So it's basically people, you know, not doing things correctly, allowing that to be accessible.
Hold on. Shocking.
Have you ever configured an LDAP server? Nobody does it correctly. You spit and duct tape that thing until it actually delivers what you need it to do, and then you run away. And never breathe on it again because it might break.
I just can't believe that a corporate environment might not hook things up correctly.
I know. I know. So the where the rubber meets the road on this one is that evidently when you're exploiting one of these LDAP servers, you get an amplification factor of about 50 times what you're sending out. Ooh, so bouncing off of one of these. No. So that's where the leverage comes from. 100,000 devices, it has the power of, I guess, 5 million, by using some of these, LDAP devices. So, the problem is we are coming up on a big holiday, in terms of online internet shopping as we head towards Thanksgiving.
Oh, everybody's going to get stuff that's going to break the internet.
Well, okay. That's one angle to come at it from. The angle that I was coming at it from is that imagine what the effect it could have on the economy if, for example, most of Black Friday, people were not able to actually do their shopping.
The lines at Best Buy would be even worse.
All you got to do is take down Amazon.com and I guarantee you will have a massive hit. I mean, it'll be really, really bad.
Well, guess who ran the DNS that Dyne used? It came out of the Eastern Seaboard version of S3, right?
Yep.
Or AWS. Wasn't that where this was like really localized? Was taken down Dyne, and Dyne was basically based out of that East Coast data center for AWS.
Ah, okay. I was not familiar with that. Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. Fortunately, Amazon doesn't use that location for their own DNS.
Yes, they don't use their own stuff there.
No. Right, exactly.
They just give that to other people.
They are not eating their own dog food.
I was going to say, dog fooding is not high on Jeff Bezos's menu.
So you can see, there is a real world sort of potential problem that's right around the corner. And, people are wondering how much of these attacks have been sort of shots across the bow. Are they tests? And what's yet to come? What people are pretty certain about is that there's more to come.
Now, has it been determined who did it yet? Because I heard it was script kiddies. Basically, this was people playing around with the open source version that got leaked.
I thought it was bitched at Bob.
The most recent one so far, the current consensus, if you could even call it consensus, is that it was script kiddies. And mostly what that means is it was not a nation state. So people, fooling around. Basically, for about $7,500, you can get your own Mirai botnet for hire. With many, many thousands of devices. So, that's not big money when it comes to these sorts of things. So that's the kind of thing where someone could, who wanted to make a point, could put down their money and, give most of North America a bad day.
So we're saying Trump might be doing this on the 3rd?
Moving on to Flash. Our second story is
actually let's quickly mention that we do have in our show notes an IoT scanner which checks for vulnerabilities in your connected devices. So if you have these things and you are concerned about this, please do go hit that link in our show notes.
Yeah, yeah. And we should say one of the major manufacturers, it's a Chinese company whose name I am not good at pronouncing, but they've actually done a recall of some of their devices. Not that it's going to do a whole lot of good at this point.
Is that the same company that's suing Krebs?
Yes, I believe it is. I believe they have their dander up. We said on our show, you know, we made the point that they should calm down. We're not blaming them. You know, they're not they may have a part in this. They're not, you know, they were not malicious. They didn't set out to do this.
They had a pool of gasoline in their backyard, but they're not the ones that brought the match to the party.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So we actually spoke to a security expert today on our show who was talking about how this botnet is very simple, but actually kind of brilliant in the way that it executes, where once it gets a hold of a device, the first thing it does is it starts looking for more devices. And so you get this sort of exponential growth of it gathering potential devices until you hit go and then kaboom.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, moving on to our next story. Graham Cluley, who of course is a well-known security person and a well-known security website, has the article "Patch Flash Now or Kick It to the Curb."
Was this from 1999?
It could be. Yeah, exactly. A recurring theme.
I thought Steve Jobs got rid of Flash.
He sure did his darndest to do that, and I would say, you know, probably more than anyone has contributed to Flash falling by the wayside, which I think many of us would consider to not be a bad thing. So there was an advisory, an immediate patch now. There is an exploit of Flash that is being observed out in the wild, which means people are actually using it for bad things. So if you are someone who still has your Flash player installed for Windows, update it now. Do not delay. They're targeting attacks against Windows version 7, 8.1, and 10. And they've got updates for the Mac, for Linux, and for Chrome, and for Windows as well. So yes. Don't delay. Go in and do that. This is according to Adobe, this is a serious one. Of course, the other option is
get rid of Flash.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad for Flash, and I know this isn't a popular sentiment, but I just a few words in defense of Flash. In its time, it was great for what it did.
Get
fucking rid of it now. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Bubonic plague was great in its time for population control, but that doesn't mean we still want it around.
This is true. Now, I do see our next story could equally have come from basically 1970. So this is a flashback show.
It is.
Except
it is.
Not.
When this thing hits 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some serious shit. So, this is a story about pager security. Now, for those youngins in our audience who may not be familiar with what a pager is, let's go back in time to the early 1990s and what's that?
Yeah, how you got your drugs.
Yeah,
that's how you got your drugs. Yes.
But let's take an alternative timeline and say that you're just getting out of college and you're working in television production, and so people need to get a hold of you to give you jobs so you can afford to pay your rent and you don't have to move back in with your parents. You would have this small device about the size of a box of matches that you would wear on your belt.
Tic Tacs. Tic Tacs.
Yeah, about the size of a pack of Tic Tacs.
Yeah. It's the Trump communication device. Some Tic Tacs.
So anyway, you'd have this device on your belt, and there would be a phone number assigned to this device. Someone would call that phone number. They'd hear a beeping sound, and then they would punch their phone number into the telephone. Your pager would then get notified, and all it would display usually was the phone number that called you. At that point, you would rush to find a payphone, because at this point in time, people were not carrying around cellular phones the way they do today. In fact, cell phones would not fit in your pocket. They were large, bulky, and very expensive.
Briefcase-sized.
So you would find a payphone, and then you would call this person back, and you would say, they would answer the phone, and you would say, "Hello, someone paged me from this number." And they would say, "Oh, yes, I called you." So that's your little history lesson on how pagers work. Very simple technology, but at the time, it was like living in the future.
To be fair, the few female listeners to the show watch Grey's Anatomy, and I think they still use them on there. So.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. That is another place where pagers are still used is in hospitals. But turns out pagers are still very popular when it comes to people who are handling our critical infrastructure, our electrical grid, our nuclear power plants.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Things like that. And pagers are not encrypted in any way. The traffic going to pagers is unencrypted because way back when these protocols were invented, nobody really thought such a thing would be necessary because who would be listening in on your pagers? And besides, the data stream was probably coming by at an impossibly fast rate.
Four baud.
Right, exactly. So it turns out it's really easy to listen in on these paging streams. And researchers also found that it's pretty easy to inject something into a pager stream. So you can actually send something to someone's pager, make it look like it came from, a real sender. Now, the problem is
you can make them call like a 900 porn number.
You could do that. You could do that. Absolutely. Do those still exist?
I have no idea.
Hey, if pagers still exist, nothing would surprise me at this point.
Well, I think we have a story for next week's show, continuing with the retro theme.
Yes,
exactly. So, imagine that what people are concerned about is this is a way that people could collect business intelligence that they could use to then, use social engineering to break into get past someone's security. So, for example, right. If I knew from monitoring your pager that today is the day that the HVAC system is going to be down for repair, I could call the front desk receptionist at the time that I now know this is down and say, hey, this is, Bob from Bob's HVAC system. And I need you to, I need you to unlock the front door so I can come in and take care of the HVAC. So, that sort of intelligence that you could get from monitoring a system like that. So
Bob's your hacker.
Bob's your hacker. Bob's your hacker. One of those things is still hanging around. I don't think there's actually been any examples of this happening, but I just thought it was a fun story to kind of close things out today that some of these things linger around and they can become, potentially serious threats.
That's awesome.
I think I still have my pager sitting in a box somewhere. I'm going to see if I can find that.
Yeah, I do. I still have an old Motorola pager sitting in a drawer. I don't know why I can't seem to part with it, but there it is.
Yeah, friend of the show MXV and I went together to buy our first pagers, and unfortunately, in an incident, mine got lost in the woods when I tried to throw it at a squirrel. But he still has his, and we found it not that long ago, and it's fun. It's fun to look at those old things.
And that squirrel is still getting his messages on that pager.
I know.
Sentences you would never expect to hear in a technology podcast. I threw my pager at a squirrel.
Yeah, but now we have a show title.
Show title.
All right, guys.
All right, Dave. Thanks again. This was awesome, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
At the library.
I finally finished Death's End, Remembrance of Earth's Past.
Finally, finally.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it's like 10,000 pages long.
It is very long. So, verdict.
Did not like it at all. I liked the first two books a lot. This book sucked.
Ah, fuck yeah.
you thought the same thing?
Absolutely.
You could have saved me basically a week of slogging through like 800 more pages of what the fuck is going on. Who the hell are these people? Why does this matter? What happened to all these people that I actually cared about? Oh, we're just never going to mention them again. And we're going to finish 7,000 years in some fucking Q-Bert-y future.
Welcome to my life. Yes, I had to go through it too. So you had to suffer. And the only reason I had.
You're an asshole.
Hey. I'm sorry, Gunslinger, book one, fuck you, payback.
But I told you that one sucked and you had to just slog through it to get through it.
Only after I tried to slog through it. That was after months of the Gunslinger saying, this is awesome.
No, that's a lie.
No, it's not. I'll go back to the archives and find that.
Fine, you go ahead. I will stand by the fact that I said that the Gunslinger series is fantastic, but the first book sucks. I have said that from day one to every single person I've told to go read those books.
Except
that
me.
That is bullshit. No, that's bullshit. You'll go back through the tapes and you'll find out, except that you won't.
Hell no, I'm not going to go back through the tapes.
And anyways, the point would be that you have to slog through something shit to get through something that is amazing and ends on such a high note. This is the end, and it sucked. And I could have stopped after the second book.
Here's the thing, though. You like the ending of Seven Eves, and I didn't. So I thought maybe we could get a different timeline on this where you would convince me that the ending of this was actually good. So hopeful that maybe that you saw something in it that I didn't.
Nope. This sucked.
Okay.
Don't read the third book. The first two are genius. The third book is not. Maybe the first, like, one-third of the third book is okay.
No. It's not worth picking up because, like I said, the ending of the second book, you could have been done. You did not need to keep going.
Yeah, you don't need to go anywhere. It just meanders and there's no point and you don't feel good. You don't feel bad. You feel nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just like, oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, well, that's how the universe ends. Oh,
It ended almost as pathetically as the last Hunger Games movie. That's about how pathetic it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're carrying this delicious, like, delicious cake across a room, and then you just kind of stumble a bit, and you drop it, and it flops on the floor, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, but it's not even like the cake was delicious, and you lost something. It was like the cake was made of dog shit, and then you got it all the way to the end, you dropped it, and you're like sad, and then you look at it, and you're like, oh, well, this was shit anyway. Fuck.
The cake in this analogy would have been the first two books, which are good.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Didn't know where you were going with it. Oh, man.
All right, so you read a book by a fucking total psycho.
Ah, Scott Adams, How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big, kind of the story of my life.
Who would have thought that the guy that created Dilbert is such an egomaniac, raging asshole?
Well, the book was good. I liked the book. I had a really good time with the book.
Read his blog.
I'm trying to stay away from that for very various reasons, which you know about. But I kind of had to unfollow him on Twitter, so I have plausible deniability about what's coming in the future. But with the whole thing about him signing up to kill Trump if he wins, that really kind of
after supporting Trump forever and. Yeah,
it's just as Dave Bittner, friend of the show, would say, this is a sticky wicket.
It's not a sticky wicket. He's a fucking psycho, crazy asshole, and it's tainted everything that he's ever done. I can never look at Dilbert again.
Orson Scott Card.
Yeah, except Ender's Game is still so good.
So is that other one. Empire. Empire was good. But the one with the dead kids and the magic underwear. Yeah, he can go fuck himself on that one.
Well, he is Mormon.
Yeah.
A lot of magic underwear floating around in that society.
Hence the go fuck yourself part.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you see the post about the kid that needed a permission slip to read Fahrenheit 451?
I did not, because you put that in recently.
Okay, so this is a really funny one that came from the Daily Dot, but it was passed around Twitter and in the link verse, as it were. So Daily Show head writer Daniel Radosh.
They still have a writer? Because that show's gotten horrible.
I liked it. I watched a couple episodes recently. I quite liked it. His son got this permission slip. And so he wrote a beautiful reply to the teacher. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's actually long and we're running long. But I'll paraphrase. I love this letter. What a wonderful way to introduce students to the theme of Fahrenheit 450. Yeah. Fahrenheit Club. That would be a good one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Fahrenheit 451, that books are so dangerous that the institutions of society, schools and parents, might be willing to team up against children to prevent them from reading one. So, and it goes on from there. I thought it was a great little.
I'm really getting an insight into my future as a dad.
Oh, you're fucked. No. You're fucked.
Software, apps, and gadgets.
I got a couple old school app recommendations.
Okay.
Alto's Adventure. One of my favorite go-to just fun, like you can play for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 10 minutes, or in my case, sometimes 4 hours games. Alto's Adventure is awesome. It's just like, you know, two buttons, you're a monk snowboarding down a mountain, trying to avoid llamas and sheep herders and doing lots of backflips and jumps and grinds and stuff. It's so much fun. I love it. And the music is great. The graphics are great. It's cheap. Highly recommended, especially if you have a high definition iPad. And they have the new Zen mode. where you can actually not fall and play forever. It's like the, you know, the endless version. So.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yes. Now, the other game is Zombie Gunship. I swear I've talked about it on the show, but I couldn't find any links in the previous versions. But Zombie Gunship has been around for almost 4 years. And you're basically flying an AC-130 gunship, and you're shooting zombies while hapless, stupid humans run between them trying to get to a bunker.
Oh, it's like self-driving cars then.
Pretty much, yes. It is so much fun. I have spent so much time playing this game. I love it to death because it's not your normal, like, zombie shoot 'em up. It's like infrared cameras from a gunship. You get to change weapons and upgrade your weapons, and I love this game. And I've been talking to the guys who built it on Twitter, and they've got a new version coming out, which looks great. But either way, even with the new version coming out, go check out the old version, because I swear to God, I have spent so much time playing this game on the crapper that I mean, my legs have gone numb many times over. So I highly recommend Zombie Gunship.
Okay.
Too much TMI?
Yeah, that was the absolutely most unappetizing description of anything ever.
Well, I'm talking about killing zombies. I can't talk about dropping a deuce while I'm killing zombies. Jesus, fuck.
I know, tough crowd.
I know, seriously. There is now a new way to take drones out, since we're in the gadget section and drones are gadgets. Normally, I'd put this under security, but it's more fun now to keep drones and gadgets together. These guys have figured out how to hack the DSMX protocol, which is what most remote-controlled toys run on.
I want this so bad living where I live.
I know you do. I know you do. It's probably a felony to do what they're doing because you are taking over aircraft. But
to be fair, most of the aircraft that I'm going to take over are committing felonies doing what they're doing.
Well, then you get double felonies. And then so if they're squared, then you get felony cubed.
Or gleaming the cube.
Don't even fucking mention that movie to me right now.
Okay.
The week I had, don't mention that movie to me. Anyway, yes. But you can steal a drone without requiring a shotgun or an eagle. So
okay,
it's called Icarus. It's not for sale yet, but the link will be in the show notes to Ars Technica, who covered the whole story that came out from a security conference in Japan this week. Highly recommended reading. And thank you, hat tip to John Chevron, aka Monkey 13, for sending this one along.
Thanks, Monkey 13.
Thank you.
So the steadfast seat of power for all of the original dot-com boom, the original Aeron chair, has now been redesigned. There's a new one.
There is.
And let's see if any of this makes any sense. The new Aeron retains the distinctive silhouette of the iconic chair, but every component of the design has been updated to raise the bar for performance seating. These updates include the Posture Fit SL, which allows it to move the body in such a natural way that people can shift from forward to reclining postures intuitively, a fit that supports the sacral region.
Sacral. If it supports my sac, that is a region, that's for sure.
To nurture the natural S shape of the spine, rotate the pelvis forward and activate healthful posture, all while sitting upright. And the EZ8Z pellicle, which offers unprecedented comfort through 8 varied zones of tension in the seat and back. What this sounds like to me is that they basically become Web 2.0 with their bullshit speak.
Well, yeah, I went and did some research on this, and the pellicle is an often talked about people in Aeron message boards. So this is actually speak to the people who still give a shit about the Aerons and are Aeron enthusiasts. So to a lot of people, this made sense, and there are probably some chair boners going on out there right now.
Good old chair boner. Well, I still like my Herman Miller Mira, which is the one that I'm sitting on right now. It is my favorite chair ever. I will not be getting a new Aeron. Link in the show notes for the Mira. It's good times.
Are you on the straight Mira or the Mira 2?
I am on the straight Mira.
Okay, because the one that you got me to buy was a Mira 2. And it was fucking glorious. That was the single best chair I've ever had, and I had to sell it because I couldn't bring it with me to Chicago, and I'm still sad every day sitting in my $99 Office Depot chair. When I get up, my hip flexors are in fucking agony, and I hate this thing more than life itself. So I might just have to sell a kidney so I can go get this new Aeron, because it does look beautiful.
It, yeah, okay. I'm going to stick with my mirror. I love it. Anyways, you have complained multiple times about me never, ever getting you any maple cookies from Canada.
Well, no, you do get me the maple cookies. I complain about you eating them before you mail them to me.
That's true. Technically, I buy them for you and I just eat them and don't send them to you. Now you don't need me anymore, Jason. Well, theoretically, because this is Web 2.0. So you never know what you're going to fucking get. There's a company called XPAC, and this is actually genius. I'm surprised. I'm pissed I didn't come up with this. It's at xpac.co. It's a monthly box because everything in Web 2.0 is based on monthly. Not just buying what you want. You have to sign up.
You gotta get a fucking subscription. Yeah.
And you don't know what's actually going to come in the box until you get it. Because every single time it's going to be based on what they can get the most cheap from every single place. Still, genius concept. So if you're an expat, they have a bunch of different countries right now. They will ship you every month a box full of goodies from your home country. Right now they have Canada, Germany, the UK, France, Puerto Rico, and Colombia. The
Philippines.
Philippines. Oh, yeah, there's more. Sorry, that was just the homepage right now because, again, Web 2.0, scrolling parallax site version 1.0 that everybody uses only allows for 6 different boxes on the homepage.
That's so right, because they bought the cheap theme.
They bought the cheap theme. So there you go. So everything about this is so Web 2.0. It's ridiculous. However, my wife just lost her mind when she saw this envisioning ketchup chips every single month, and I had to explain to her, you don't know what you're going to get. So.
See, yeah, I'm looking at the Canada lineup right now. You got maple cookies. You got Shreddies, which I never had. You get the milk in the bag. You have to use with those, right? Because they have the milk in the bag in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get Shreddies in a bag, and you get the milk in a bag. And mm-hmm. But next to it, yes, the ketchup Lays, which are fucking glorious. I will... All in all, this looks like a really nice package, but since you don't know what you're getting, I cannot subscribe. And now that I'm in Illinois, in Chicago specifically, I can hop over to Midway, get a plane to Toronto, go shopping, and be back in like 3 hours.
That's true. And you'd get what you actually really wanted, and it'd be much better. They have things like, you know, in a bag poutine, which is not going to match the real thing at a bar with beer. So
no, definitely not.
Yeah. No, I mean, my problem with all of this stuff is you don't know what you're getting. I'm not going to pay for something not knowing what's coming. I'm just not going to. I guess.
Come on, you've taken Uber. You pay for a car and don't know who's going to drive.
That's the reason I bitch about Uber all the time as well.
Media candy.
Black Mirror is out. Woohoo!
I've really got to get on watching this, but it's hard to do. It's so bleak, and I have a son, and I'm supposed to be feeling happy.
So here's the funny part. The first episode, I was originally on the, oh my God, this is so depressing. We've talked about this on the show, and it actually mirrored something that we'll talk about when we get to comment of the week. But at the end, I was like jubilant. I'm like, yeah, fuck the man. But, the second one, yeah, pretty depressing. I'm pretty much more about the happy myself nowadays. So watching it that's why I've only watched 2. And you know me and binging, you know.
I know.
I've only watched 2 episodes so far.
Okay.
So I liked the 2 that I saw. I know that I looked at some lists, and some of the ones that are coming up are on, like, you know, the top 5 lists out there. So, but the ones that I saw, I didn't think were bad. At all. And they are definitely in the Black Mirror realm. It is just the same. It is more Black Mirror.
Yeah, I think I'm going to add this to my late night viewing once everybody's in bed. We'll see about that.
I tell you what, like I said, I previously pimped Goliath. I would rather have a second season of Goliath, I think, than a third season of Black Mirror, which is really scary because I was looking forward to this. But now that I've got it, I'm like, it just makes me feel like black inside. It's like it's like goth television.
Well, that sounds perfect for me. Yeah. A friend of the show, Mike, actually talked to me about Goliath as well. Apparently, it's all shot around the corner from me in a place called Chez.
I told you.
I ignore you when you talk about shows.
I know. When I talk about things, you don't listen.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Sherlock Season 4, the premiere date has been revealed. I'm very excited about this.
January 1st.
Woohoo! Will be called the six Thatchers, and it's January 1st. Yes, I'm very excited. I have been keeping up with Westworld. I still love the show.
Well, hang on. Did you watch the trailer for Sherlock?
No, I haven't watched it.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the trailer. The trailer looks incredible.
See, I just want to wait and watch the show.
I do too, but I
don't need a trailer. I'm already sold on Sherlock. I love it.
I know, but it looks really fucking good.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's really good.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things where I haven't waited that long for it.
Like, it hasn't been canceled, so I'm amazed you're still watching it. So that's
for me, Sherlock just ended about 3 weeks ago because that's when I finished all the episodes. So.
Yeah, for me, it's been years.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I get you wanting to watch the trailer. For me, I was just like, yeah, okay, great. Next season. Awesome. So I've been watching Westworld. It's been absolutely fantastic. I'm really, really into it. And I was starting to get this vague kind of feeling like I've been here before. I've felt these things before. And then somebody over at vulture.com by, Lindsay Romaine, put her finger on the pulse of what I was feeling. 8 Ways Westworld is the New Lost.
Okay, I have to read this because I'm having a very difficult time with Lost right now. I mean, not Lost, Westworld, West Lost. I really wish they would get to a story at some point because I'm not feeling it.
I don't see how you don't see multiple stories there, but
I do, but I don't see a thread that's actually a through line. I don't see a through line yet.
Again, 8 Ways Westworld is the New Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, read this article. I think you'll resonate with you. But it doesn't make it bad, per se, as long as there's not a panda they don't explain.
No. So far, everything's been explained. It's moving so fucking slow.
It definitely did slow down this last 2 episodes. But I get what they're trying to do and what... Anyways, we'll talk about it more. I don't want to go into deep... We're not a Westworld podcast, so we'll talk about it more.
We're later. Not?
No. Apparently, the Rocky Horror Picture Show revamp sucked.
Shocking. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to everybody out there. The Rocky Horror Picture Show sucked.
Unless you're 16 and you're drunk and you're throwing toast and rice at your friends that are scantily clad, it sucks.
It's a terrible movie. The only thing good that came out of that is Tim Curry. And now he's like, you know, a vegetable. So it just reminds me that Tim Curry is a vegetable and makes me very fucking sad. So
I'd like to distance myself from that last statement because it makes me sad.
It makes me sad, too.
Are you watching Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency?
I have not made my trip to Sweden yet.
OK, yeah, I haven't either. I think I'm going to throw you under the bus on this one and let you watch it, although the reviews are very good on it.
Okay, so here's the problem with this. I am the world's biggest Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency fan. So I am going to be the most critical motherfucker when it comes to this show. I listened to the Nerdist episode with the stars talking about it, and apparently the director and writer who put this together is on my level of Dirk Gently fan. And has adapted it for television in a way that I should be happy. So I'm going to at least let 2 episodes come out before I watch it. So by the time we do next episode, 2 episodes will be out and I will have watched it.
At Jason starting to adopt my rules slowly but surely.
Well, it'll still be on the air, Miss Cancelaholic. A little bit different there. The thing about this is I remember when they did Dirk Gently before and I watched that and it was just a travesty. It is an absolute travesty. And I'm still, like I said, I'm still traumatized by, you know, the Salmon of Doubt and the last Dirk Gently story, because I still don't know why there was only half a cat. And if you're a fan of Dirk Gently, you will know what I mean. So I'll have my review next week.
We have half a cat and 4 times a show, so let's move on quickly here. Moby has put out a new song. Moby and the Void Pacific Choir have just released the new music video to the song Are You Lost in the World Like Me, which has a thoughtful take on people's relationship to technology. Basically, it's a animated video from this guy, Steve Cutts, who I was not aware of, but he's a London-based artist. And it's all about how we're basically losing our entire worlds and lives to our phones and how modern culture sucks. So there's that video. Good time.
Is he writing an episode of Black Mirror for next season?
It might as well have been, but it's quite a good song. So good on you, Moby. You came back. Also, just to point out, at pitchfork.com, they have listed the 50 best shoegaze albums of all time. This is one of my favorite musical scenes. And since music is free now and you can just stream the hell out of it, here's 50 albums to go listen to. I ran through the entire list. I like every single album. I'd even say Where the Hell is Swallow, because that was a great band. Blow and Blow Black, the remix version of the album, should be on there somewhere because that album is absolutely fantastic. And finally, we have a video in the show notes from Dave Bittner, who sent this along as well, and it fits in Media Candy. It's a great listen.
Yes, it is Sultans of Swing by a bunch of guys playing guitar.
All right, moving on.
Moron of the Week.
I was torn on putting this in Moron of the Week. It was originally going to be in Web's Not Dead or something like that. And then I realized all he's really doing is recreating somebody else's work, and that's stupid. So this guy, his name is, what is his name here? His name is David McGowan, and he has a Tumblr, MSP Blade Runner, where he is recreating Blade Runner in Microsoft Paint, basically really bad sketches, scene by scene, for no particular reason I can figure out whatsoever.
See, this, if this was in the Web's Not Dead, I would have vetoed it, because this is definitely more another week. A, using MS Paint to recreate somebody else's artwork.
Yeah, all you're really redoing, this is my problem with internet culture in general right now, is all we're doing is redoing other people's shit. Do all your own shit.
All your shit is belong to us.
Exactly.
Ooh, fancy! Fancy! Fancy.
Apparently, maybe, theoretically,
apparently,
scientists have found a way to turn carbon dioxide into fuel, into ethanol specifically, which can be used as fuel, by accident, apparently. If this is true, this is like world transforming, serious, amazing, crazy stuff.
The fact haven't been killed yet is amazing if this is actually true. I'm serious. Yeah,
okay. Yep. Tinfoil hats on Jason. So,
absolutely.
Dr. Adam Rondion from the Department of Energy's Oak Ridge National Laboratory led a study. They found out somewhat by accident that some material that they discovered basically was a catalyst that was turning carbon dioxide into a fuel, which will change the entire effing world if this is actually true. So hopefully, we'll see.
Comment of the week.
First comment of the week comes from Patreon, from I Like Big Books and I Can't Not Lie. Well, it's just I Like Big Books, but hey, geeks, love the show. Started listening last year. I'm a tech specialist up in Stephen King's neck of the woods. Surprisingly, we do have a few tech hubs here, surrounded by lots and lots and lots of pretty trees and good beer. Good on you, man. I usually listen on my commute Monday morning, so I'm good and grumpy going into the work week. Anyways, I understand the frustration with iTunes. I'd love to leave you guys a 5-star review, but in a moment of fury, I totally deleted my iTunes account and can't be bothered to make a new one. In my house, we use Plex Media Server instead. We have a reasonably sized media collection and it works great for us. Can't say how well it would work on a massive collection like Jason's, but it's worth checking out if you haven't already. Keep up the great work. Brian, congratulations on your wee one. I'm sorry you are getting little to no sleep, but I do appreciate the extra grumpiness you've been bringing to the show lately.
Well, thank you. I like big books. Yeah, that's good times.
By the way, my media collection is very wee, like Brian's wee one, because I delete everything after I watch it.
Yeah, and I have the big media collection. I'm the one that can't sign into iTunes with all that stuff because of the sheer large amount of songs that I have. I'm way too lazy to do my own media server. I want to stay within somebody's architecture. I just wish Apple would let me.
Brian lives in the clouds.
I'm trying to. Our next comment comes from GrumpyOldGeeks.com from Swell Schultz, which is one of my favorite names of all time. He just said, editor of Tape Op magazine is saying goodbye to Apple OS for good. Give me a hammer part two. And it is the editor of the online magazine talking about why he hates updates and how they ruin software, particularly in the audio engineering world. And he gets into how much logic sucks and how Apple keeps screwing with people that do any sort of audio engineering whatsoever. So, Jason, you actually should probably read this.
He says
go to PC. So you should get one of the new PCs and do all your audio engineering from there now.
Yeah, then I'd have to learn something new, which I don't like learning.
And again, it's just funny because I'm the exact opposite of this guy as well. I've been doing audio stuff my entire life. I've done editing. I've done engineering. I've put out my own album all on Windows while everybody else in the world was using Mac. And now everybody that's using Mac is trying to switch over to Windows because they hate Mac. And I just switched to Mac. So
see, awesome. I still love my Mac and I'm not going to change. All you have to do is wait 3 months. That's it. You wait 3 months. And honestly, no matter what, you should always wait 3 months after a Mac update. Doesn't matter if you're a fucking audio engineer. There are bugs. If you rely on your computer for what you do for a living, don't be on the bleeding edge. This is just common sense.
Says the guy who has auto updates on his phone.
Yeah, my phone doesn't pay my bills. My Mac pays my bills.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Moving on.
So this comes from No Nickname Required, who you might recognize from last week.
Right. Okay.
Well, this is a recommendation from No Name Required, who you might recognize from last week. We have a 5-star rating from him this time. Such a refreshing tech podcast. Well, thank you, No Nickname Required, for updating your review. We appreciate it. And see Black Mirror Season 3, Episode 1 for why we thought this was hilarious. But honestly, we do love the new review. We're not going to read it here because it is very long and it is very gushing. And we really, really appreciate it.
Yes, we do appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I had a very, very long laugh when I saw it.
I did
so
too.
Thank you. We also got a 5-star review first time around from NTYTI
from the Netherlands. NTYTI.
Nitty. Love the show. Found the show through a mention on the AOC podcast. That would be Jason's day job.
That'd be the Art of Charm. Yes.
I find myself coming back every week to hear what has happened in the tech world and have some laughs. The show notes with all the articles are great. There are always interesting articles to find. Thanks, guys. Well, thank you. Love it there. Don't know what's up with the mayo on the fries, but love it there.
Closing shout outs.
The iPod is 15 years old. 15 years old. This is ridiculous.
I had one. I had version one. I wish I still had it. It holds more music than my goddamn phone now does.
Here's the problem with it. Well, it held 5 gig. I bought one, too. I bought one on Michigan Avenue in Chicago when I was sneaking around from work using my AOL Instant Messenger BlackBerry to skirt having to actually sit in my office. And I took it to my dad at his thing. And I'm like, look at this. This holds music. And he's just like, kids. But I loved my iPod 1. I loved the mechanical wheel. I miss you, iPod 1. And if you still have one and it works, good on you, because those things blew up. Battery expanded and hard drives dies.
Yeah, blew up, not in the way that the Samsung Galaxies did.
No. Yeah. Big thanks to Tony Hawk, by the way. I actually talked to him and interviewed him this week for my day job. That episode will be coming out at some point, and I will definitely talk about it when it comes out. It's a... Yeah. It was a long road for that one. So,
hometown boy for me.
Yeah. Well, he's a little bit south of you. He's
a little bit south.
He's south of the nuclear tits, as the Descendants would say.
Yes. But yeah. I will give your cubbies a shout out.
Oh, thank you very much. We're 50-50 right now. But last night's.
I'm a National League boy, so I'm always going to root for the National League, and maybe not if the Blue Jays would have been in there, but you know, I'm married into Toronto, but yeah, and I mean, come on, this is historic if they win.
It is historic, and you know what? I'm not generally one of these guys, but I'm looking at the Cleveland Indians logo, and I'm like, that's fucking racist.
It is a little racist.
It's really bad. Like...
They could do an update. You know, there's this whole thing about the Washington Redskins as well. And somebody had done an indigenous update of the logo that makes it not offensive. And it's fucking way better. Just adopt it. And you're done, people.
Yeah. This is like a Bucktooth Indian from a Bugs Bunny commercial is their logo. And I'm looking at it. I'm just like, man, that.
Look, Plus, we all know the bottom line is money. You change the logo, you have to sell all new gear to everyone. This is a win-win for you people. You're not racist anymore, and you make a shit ton of money.
Exactly. So what's holding you up there, Cleveland?
Idiots.
Anyway, my last one, this is, since we're recording this on a Thursday, I'm going to have my throwback Thursday in here. I'm going to put in a video of how the animal chin ramp was built. If you're a skater from the old days, animal chin turns 30 this week. on Friday when this comes out, there will be video of the original Bones Brigade skating the animal chin ramp that has been rebuilt. I'm going to try and link that in the show notes after it comes out. But after talking to Tony Hawk this week, I could not put this in the show.
I'm not entirely sure what a single word was that has been said in the last 2 minutes.
So perfect. So you got me on your social media shit. I got you on my skateboarding shit. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Jason DeFilippo, and you can check me out at jpd.me, where you can find all the links to all my social media and contact info if you want to hire me for your podcast editing and producing needs.
And I'm Brian Schlemmeister, and you can follow me on that dead social network called Twitter at Slender Fungus. I don't know why anymore, but hey, I'll try to post more until it goes away like vinyl.
Oh, I'm also at about.me/jpd.me. Maybe you should check that one out, Brian.
Oh, what else are you on? Oh, I got an email from
Hello.
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 Oh, what's the one that I mortally offended on Twitter? I can't even remember that you're on as well.
I have no idea. There's so many of them.
Imzy.
I got my Imzy shirt.
Yeah.
Woo. That's going the way of the Zane Lamprey shirt, and it's going to become a cleaning rag.
Visit patreon.com/GOG and sign up to help support the show. Even as little as $1 a month helps keep the bandwidth, baby formula, and puppy chow flowing. If you're cheap or broke but still want to support the show, please go to grumpyoldgeeks.com/iTunes and leave us a glowing review and 5 stars. At the very least, please share the show with your friends. GrumpyOldGeeks.com is where you can listen to shows, leave feedback, ask us questions that we can read on the air, or find links to our awesome sponsors and stuff we like. We're also on Twitter, the dead social network, at GOG Podcast, and on Instagram at Grumpy Old Geeks. Intro music for the show is provided by the band Among Us. You can find them on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Music, or get 10 exclusive tracks when you sponsor us on Patreon. Outro music for the show is provided by Andy Suchansky. You can follow Andy at twitter.com/houseofandy, and he's also on SoundCloud at grumpyoldgeeks.com/andy, where you can listen to this song in its entirety. Show notes for all the links discussed in this episode can be found at grumpyoldgeeks.com/183. Even as little as $1 a month helps keep the baby with... Fuck, baby with.
Baby with.
Jesus, I'm so not used to reading this.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.